How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, your dear friend, Susie Ruffle.
And me, your other dear friend, Tom Allen. And we were just talking about, well, we mentioned the word pod fodder. You said it, Susie. And I thought, what an interesting word. What an interesting term.
Well, I think I made it up, but I might not have.
No, I think that's very, I like it, pod fodder. I think we started talking and we realised this could be, as Susie said, pod fodder.
You were talking about feeling like, I mean, let's be honest with the listener. It's the same old stories every week, just packaged in a different way. We were talking about anxiety.
We found a new one. Another way to experience it.
I mean, when we're both well, will this podcast stop?
Surely. My brain would do something where it would be like, if you stop the podcast,
You
won't be well. That's the only thing keeping you together.
We are both well. We're fine. No one needs to worry about us.
We're absolutely fine. Thank you, though. Thank you very much.
The rocking is just comfortable.
Yeah. Susie has a very bad back.
As you know.
As well documented. And we were just talking about various things. And I mentioned how I used to, like when I was starting out, I'd often not have, I'd be made to feel like I didn't have the right things ready to go, like a showreel. Mm. I didn't know what a showreel was. And I couldn't afford to pay someone because that seemed like that would be a ridiculous thing to pay essentially a television company to make a showreel.
Yes. And this was before people would have, you couldn't have done a thing on your phone or a little camera and edited it. Like, that was an insane idea.
And absolutely out of the question.
So like, did you try and do it yourself?
In the late 2000s, yeah.
Oh, Tom, what was that like?
I nearly threw my laptop out of the window, I think.
Well,
it was so stressful because everything would be going fine and then it would sort of suddenly not, or you'd have the files, but they wouldn't be the right files. Or like learning that whole world was very stressful. But yeah. I just remember thinking like, why, like now I'd be like, well, that's not something I'm skilled in. But then I was like, why aren't you skilled in this? You're so stupid.
Yeah. Why can't you make a film? Why aren't you Martin Scorsese?
You want to be in show business, do you? But you can't even put together a show reel. Mm. Embarrassing. You should be ashamed.
Yeah, you should be ashamed. Do you think it harks back to the child in all of us that's like, oh, God, I'm going at my daughter constantly for saying like all the time. And all I've realised is that I say it all the time.
I do too.
It's not like, said me. Do you think it's because at school we were those children where we were scared of someone saying, you don't have the right things?
Yes. Yes, it is like having...
Wait, you're telling me you don't have your PE kit? We're going to have to do it in your vest and pants.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what it is.
Are you scared of having to do stand-up in your vest and pants?
Oh, my God. I'm not, but the audience are.
I'm imagining you in those little... What are they called? The suspenders for socks? The sock spenders? Yes. A little pair of Y-fronts, sock spenders, and a white vest.
Like a sort of, is it Reginald Perrin? Is it like one of those sort of 70s sitcoms? Or Monty Python, actually, I think.
Sure, yes. When I said the vest, I was thinking more Rabsy Nesbitt.
Oh, yes, a string vest, yeah.
Very
nice.
And a can of Tennants, of course.
When my niece was wearing a vest sometimes to keep warm, my brother and his partner would refer to her as Onslow.
Oh, yes, love that. Oh, of course, we should talk about keeping up appearances.
Well, let's talk about keeping up appearances. And I also want the listener to know about how wonderful your show was on Friday.
Well, listen, should we talk about Patricia Routledge first?
If you like. Dame Patricia Routledge. Alfie took us to an audience with a couple of years ago.
Yes, I remember you saying, and you said she was great.
She was phenomenal. And what was interesting about her was that, as is the case with a lot of people, Hyacinthe Bouquet came along very late in her life.
Yes.
Wasn't what she expected to be doing.
It's the same with Liz Smith.
and the royal family.
Oh, yes.
I read her book, and she had been a jobbing actress, and she'd, you know, worked, and she was a mum, and she, you know, she'd done The Juggle for years, and, you know, had lovely theatre work.
Yeah.
And bits of TV here and there. And then I think she was, she may have even been in her 80s, but if not in her late 70s, when the Nan character in The Royal Family came along.
Amazing, isn't it?
And she said in the book, and I'm totally paraphrasing this, but it was, you know, something like, I waited 70 years to be an overnight success, or whatever the thing, you know.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, isn't it?
And Buster Merrifield was quite an interesting person who played Uncle in Only Fools and Horses. The old Royal Navy Sea Dog.
Yes.
He would say about how he got into acting late in life. He just decided he wanted to do it. You know, and I think that was his main sort of thing. I think he did some other things beforehand, but that was his main thing. Only Fools and Horses. Mm. Which, one of the, you know, biggest sitcoms of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a lesson, isn't it? Because I think in a society where we completely sort of fetishize the idea of being young and successful.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I think I've spoken about this before, but, and I know that you had her on your Virgin show, Emma Gannon.
Oh, yes.
Who wrote a great book. Well, she's written loads of great books, actually, novels and nonfiction. But I read her book, The Success Myth.
Mm.
And there was a great story in it, which I aligned with so much. She spoke about, it was her dream to be on the Forbes under 30s list.
Oh, right.
She really wanted to do it because she thought it would mean that she was successful and that it meant that she had achieved the thing, whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. And then she managed to do it. And it was so much hard work to get sort of recognized and have the right, you know, she had a podcast and she had a massive social media following. And then she also had her books. And there had been so much work to try and be on this list. And then she got on the list and she realized it was just a party. And that was it. It was just a party.
How interesting. Yeah.
And I thought that was such a great example of the idea that you've got to do these things, or you have to do it by this point, or if you haven't done it by that point, it means that it's not going to happen, whatever all those things are. And people like Patricia Routledge, you know, you say, obviously she had an incredible theatre career, and there were some great photos that I saw online in her obituaries. You know, and with pictures of her on the stage in different places. So on the Liverpool Playhouse, which I had been on just weeks before.
Oh, my goodness. You're basically the same.
We're kind of the same. Yeah, it's just a great lesson.
Great lesson. I think as well, like a really varied life. I mean, she was a hugely successful singer and hugely well regarded and sung a lot of Noel Coward songs. And also Bernstein really loved her and flew her to America and was going to make a show for her, I think. She had hugely varied career, but it's, you know, further to what you say, I think people aren't necessarily aware of those moments in a person's life, and the kind of, and for me, like as a teenager, I really loved Talking Heads, not the band, but the Alan Bennett monologues, of course. Like a lot of camp teenagers did in fact do Alan Bennett's A Chip in the Sugar as their Lambda monologue.
Can you remember any of it?
I think there's a lot of, I said to mother, there's a chip in the sugar. Leeds are anathema even in, no, what is it? Flares are anathema, even in Leeds. Just little quirky things that he says as this closeted gay man living with his mother, which, you know.
Of course, there was some.
There was some crossover.
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't like to presume.
One would never. One was but so quite a character, you know, and as soon as she was old, you could tell she was older. When she walked out on the stage for that talk. And but when she started talking, she was like...
She still had it.
No stopping her. Yeah, she still had it.
Also, do you know that she chose to stop Keeping Up Appearances when it was at its absolute peak? They were getting more viewing, higher viewing figures. The viewing figures just kept growing.
Wow.
And then she said, and now we'll stop. Because she said that Ronnie Barker always said, stop at the top. Don't let it come down.
Wow, that's interesting.
Isn't it?
Keeping Up Appearances, apparently, is one of the most exported BBC shows.
Well, yes, because I guess that British class thing and people trying to be something they're not.
Mm.
I mean, first of all, I think class is a very specific British thing, but obviously it happens in other places as well. But I think it's something that we're really known for.
So yes, I think that's
sort
it. Yeah.
See those stereotypes.
Yeah.
And also I think people, regardless of what country or place that you live, everyone knows someone that pretends they're better than they are.
Absolutely. And
it's such
always found it so fascinating. And I think that it's almost not a snobby thing, ironically, because everybody does it. Do you know what I mean? Everybody kind of looks for those markers that make them better than the person next to them. You know, everybody's aspiring to that. And I think,
yeah,
I think I've said it before, like I used to work with some people who talked like that all the time. And I remember there's some customers came in and when they left, the people I worked with went, oh, they're all right. They're a bit core blimey, aren't they? So that was, you know, that was the word I grew up in. But yeah, very, very interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I think Americans really got on with it. They really.
Mm. Do you think she was sort of high camp, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'll say. Yeah. I mean.
With the, I think anyone that did an Alan Bennett
monologue was immediately jettisoned into that.
Jettisoned into Camptown?
Campery.
Campari
as well, probably.
Probably Campari and lemonade. I could see her having one of those.
You know, I haven't had a drink for 10 days.
Oh my god, Tom!
You know that's the thing, isn't it? When you stop drinking, everyone you have to tell everybody.
You have to tell everyone. Do you feel amazing?
Well, I feel. I did have a glass of wine the Sunday before last, so I didn't complete the. Well, hang on. It's the Sunday before last. What's that? 7.
Wait, you drunk now?
9. I'm drunk. Oh god. Yeah, 9 days, I suppose. But
well done, you.
But it's been sort of 12
days. You're having a little break. Are you stopped over?
Oh, I should have done that. I should have said yes.
Well, no, because it's 7 days. It's the 7th of October.
Well, it
so
was...
you can just do it for the rest of the month.
Oh, good.
oh, thrilling.
Oh, I just realised my clothes weren't fitting.
Sure.
And so I thought I've got to do something here. Somebody I met the other day said they lost. It's not, I know we shouldn't worry about our weight. For me, it was just a thing that my clothes didn't fit. From stopping drinking for 8 months, she'd lost 4 stone. And I was like, oh God, that's me. That's
you can't lose 4 stone.
No, I couldn't. There'd
if
be nothing
lost
off
four
me.
Stone,
I'd be
you'd be an envelope.
Yes, exactly. I don't want to lose 4 stone. But I it made me think, booze is not helping in this journey towards having suits that do up. So I would like to sort of stop. So it's because basically I'd got into a rhythm of, you know, as I think a lot of people do, you get in from work, you go, oh, let's celebrate the end of work. Let's have a drink. And then, oh, let's make dinner. Let's open a bottle of wine to go with dinner. Rinse and repeat every day.
Yeah.
And with that comes like, oh, let's have some crisps. So I've just been trying to, you know, slow it down a bit, which I do feel good for.
Well, good for you.
I don't know why I brought that
wine
up.
Wine and crisps.
Lovely. I mean, wine and crisps is lovely. Let me tell you. I'm not. don't think for a moment. I don't want to have some right now.
no, but that's good. It's good to have a little break, isn't it?
A little break. That's what I thought.
A little break, a little pause.
Talking of, I don't know why I came onto that. Sorry. But
don't be, never.
Patricia Routledge, talking about wonderful performers. Effortlessly, I want to sojourn into talking about what an incredible time I had at your show on Friday, Suze. I loved it so much. The juggle.
I don't juggle. I should let people know that.
You should actually tell people that. I saw a lot of clowns get up and leave.
Walk out, yeah. And it's hard because their shoes are so large. You really hear them.
And I mean, when they got in the car outside.
One of them bumped their nose by accident.
There was a bit of water everywhere for some reason. but apart from
everyone else had a lovely time.
Apart from them, which of course was not real. They were not real. Everybody absolutely loved it. And it was so good, Suze. There was something about it that, and I hope you don't mind me saying, but I just thought it was just you just being the most you I've ever seen you on stage. And I thought everybody loved you so much.
Oh, that's kind of you to say. That, you know, it's funny because a couple of my very, very good friends like you and my wife, who I consider probably my best friend, and my wife, I said the same thing. Laura Checkley and Flo.
She
came to a different show. Oh. But Laura and Claire and Flo and Alice and you now have said, it's like you're just being yourself.
Isn't that's the
interesting, isn't it?
interesting thing, isn't it? That's the strange irony that we do all this work just to get back to being who we actually are.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
It's we so are, much work.
We are a wellness podcast.
And now we're going to take some time to tell you about BetterHelp.
Yeah, I am going to. I've got this new juice I want you to buy.
And so if you're not sleeping well, you're not living well. You're not and that's why we're delighted to be sponsored by bed. By sleep.
By sleep. I love that.
Delicious.
But no, Suze, everything about it was just absolutely pitch perfect. I love the playfulness of it. Everything was so perfectly... The storytelling was just so beautiful. It was so funny. We were all laughing the whole way through, but it was personal. There were political moments which felt so human and so kind of so beautifully put. And then there's a wonderful, wonderful finale. And I'll just say that.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Yeah, I'm very pleased with this show. I'm very proud of this show. I think it's the best show I've done. And it feels like I'm doing the kind of stand-up that I want to do. I feel like I think that writing a book that was so personal helped in that way, because I think that I have got to a step. I think my sort of neediness to be liked, whilst of course I'm not a psychopath, I would still like to be liked, but I don't think there's the quiet desperation.
Yeah. Well, that's life. That is kind of like the wonderful thing about getting a bit older, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Not that you're older, but you know, like,
no, I am.
Moving
fine.
Through the years as we all are, that actually that self-acceptance is a great gift.
I think so. Well, thanks for saying that, Tom, and thank you for coming.
It was
People
tremendous.
Were very excited to see you in the crowd.
Well, of course. I waved at everybody for 10 minutes.
We all stood up when Tom entered.
Yes, it was like the mayor had turned up. No, it was lovely. And so many lovely people in that beautiful Soho Theatre, Walthamstow.
How nice is that theatre?
Which I could not tag in the Instagram post I did. I couldn't tag, location tag. Could not find it. All I could find was Ho Street. And I nearly put Ho Street Laundrette. but Ho Street is where it is, HOE.
Yeah, that's why I'm playing there.
That's why. Sorry, that's why.
I'd love to play Ho Street Laundrette.
Look, you don't need to, but... Maybe it's quite handy.
Maybe I'll have a spin.
I'll
spin through the show.
Oh, lovely. Maybe we'll do a spin class.
Maybe. My friend Ross teaches,
Does Ross teach spin?
Ross teaches spin. He's so fit. Every way. He's a beautiful man, but also he is. Honestly, non-stop on that bike.
Good for him. Well,
good
he's
for
got
him,
tattoos,
not for me. He's got tattoos.
Of course. Sense.
It all adds up, doesn't it? Tom, what have you been doing this week other than being forced to sit through my show?
Please, it was a pleasure. I have been on the road a lot. I was doing some gigs last week, and then some other bits and bobs which involved quite a lot of travelling. Really, Alfie was the tour manager, really took it out of us actually, because it was a couple of late nights.
It does, doesn't it?
And a shout out to the hotel in Winchester, which we got to very late on Wednesday night, like 1:30. We've been sent the hotel details and it had a reference and everything. We got to the Hotel Divan in Winchester and they said, we weren't expecting a late check-in. And then when they checked the system, they were like, your name's not here. We don't have a reservation. I was like, well, I'm sure you do. I mean, this is the reference number. No, it's not coming up. And they said, look, we'll find you, don't worry, we'll find you a room and we can sort it in the morning. Please let us just go and make up a room. Can we get you a drink in the bar? We're so sorry about this confusion. We're like, that's very kind. We're fine. Obviously, I wasn't drinking. And then they found us a room. We had a lovely night's sleep. Get a message in the morning. Turned out we'd been sent the wrong hotel. We'd been sent the wrong hotel details. Like everything else was right. It was just they gave us the wrong hotel. Hotel Divan in Winchester looked after us. Isn't that lovely?
Wow, there you go. I love a hotel divan.
I do now.
Yeah, I bet you do.
But yeah, wasn't that kindly of them? They could have just turfed us out on our ear.
Very kindly of them.
So that was a nice moment. And also, I've been doing the Pottering show as well.
Yes.
Which has been going very nicely.
People seem to be loving it.
People seem to be enjoying it, don't they? So that's,
and that's
nice.
Wonderful.
It's a bit of calm, a bit of tranquility, hopefully, in your ears.
Oh, yes, please. We all need it.
Well, that's what I think. That's what I think. But yes, it's been nice, really. Very nice. Are you on the road a lot this week, Suze?
I'm going to Swansea, which is already sold out, and Swindon, which has a few tickets left.
Oh, Suze, what a lovely week.
What a lovely week. What a nice time.
How nice. And how lovely to be travelling with the autumn colours everywhere.
And with Joe, tour manager Joe.
Tour manager Joe, who I finally met. What a lovely person.
Such a babe. I love him.
Is he a he's a theatre boy before?
He's a thespy boy, yeah.
As in musicals or what?
No, more sort of straight acting.
Oh, God.
But he will sing along to, like you, when you were 14. He will sing along to Moulin Rouge on the way to shows with me. So that's something.
Oh, well done, Joe.
And he knows all the words, so that's always great.
Oh, great. Oh, can you do the harmony?
I don't think we've got quite there yet. I don't know whether that's me or him, but it's something that we're working on as a team, I think.
I think that's lovely. Yeah, lovely.
No, he's so brilliant. So brilliant.
Oh, but he was an actor.
He was indeed, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, lovely. Oh, that's a sensitive person you can tell.
Should we have a couple of emails?
Well, we've had so many. We've had so many.
Clang, clang, clang. Went the trolley.
They did.
Okay, Tom, I've got another telling off and I'm so sorry. Dear Tom and Susie, love the pod. Read your recent chat about nice places in the UK and chat about the Isle of Man. Uh-oh. I'm a born and bred Manxie, now living in Glasgow, and I must clarify that the Isle of Man is not part of the UK.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But instead its own entity, a crown dependency.
A crown dependency, sorry. Yeah, I knew that.
This causes someone who leaves the Isle of Man a whole host of problems when moving to the UK. To name a few, changing your car reg, driving licence and registry with the HMRC. Wow. Much love, Michelle.
Michelle? I didn't realise
Michelle
that.
Says, at the end of her email, it says, I'm delightfully dyslexic, please excuse any typos. Michelle, I might borrow that.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not? I didn't know that about the Isle of Man. I thought they, I don't know.
Is it a tax haven?
It is, I believe, yeah. I believe people sometimes move there to pay a very low rate of tax.
Sure. Well, that's why they have to register with the HMRC.
I was going to say that's probably
because they haven't known them before. Not saying anything about you, Michelle. We're very aware that you live in Glasgow.
Obviously, yes. Now, I've got a message here about keeping up appearances. Dear Tom and Susie, I felt compelled to email after hearing about the passing of the great Patricia Routledge. I think a lot of theatrical and queer kids always found great comfort in Hyacinth Bouquet and that image of being a fabulous host, avid Radio 4 fan and Alan Bennett fan. I think your podcast gives me very similar levels of comfort as an adult. I moved to Southeast London from Lewes, maybe Clang. Nearly
Clang,
4 years ago.
Indeed, Clang.
Oh, that's very nice. Southeast London, not far from me. And Lewes, I know. And that, definitely Clang, actually. Lewes is lovely. You went there the other day, didn't you, Suze?
Yeah, lovely.
I can see you there one day opening a ceramics shop.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
Well, I moved to Southeast London from Lewes, maybe Clang, nearly 4 years ago, whilst mourning the loss of a father figure. Well, I know that feeling. Your podcast became a great source of comfort and staple part of my week from then, so thank you. I'd say the ultimate comfort would be to listen to the podcast in the M&S Cafe at the Bromley Glades. Bye, from Emily. Emily, thank you very much for that lovely message, and I might well see you in that cafe. I'm often there.
Indeed. Let's have one more. Dear Tom and Suze, anxious gay, a massive overthinker here. I just wanted
welcome.
To take a moment.
You're home.
Thank you for your podcast, Like-Minded Friends. I've been a listener for a long while now, and it has truly become a huge comfort to my life. I've always lived with anxiety, and recently I've gone through a big career change, which brought with it a wave of anxiety that at times has felt overwhelming. On those tougher days, having your podcast to turn to has made all the difference. I often find myself replaying episodes, not just because they make me laugh, which they always do, but because they remind me that I'm not alone and that what I'm going through is valid and understood. There's something so reassuring in the way that you share your stories with such warmth and honesty, and I can't tell you how much of that helps me. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you both for creating something that brings comfort, laughter and connection. I've no doubt you've had an impact on so many like-minded friends out there, myself included. Thank you, all the byes. And that's from Chad.
Thank you very much, Chad.
Chad, who lives in Cardiff.
Oh, thank you very much, Chad from Cardiff. What a lovely message to receive. Of course, you'll be going...
Chad feels a very American name to me.
It's a nice name, isn't it? Is that short for...
It is, for, Chad.
Could it be short for...
Chadwick?
Oh, I like that.
I don't know, I just made that up. Is that a name?
It's a nice name, though.
Like, what's it short for?
I don't know. I was going to say Charlie.
Oh, maybe.
But I might be wrong.
Do you know what ET's short for?
extraterrestrial?
No, because he's got little legs.
That's lovely, Alison.
It's a lovely little joke, yeah, isn't it? So if you want to see me on tour, you can imagine lots more where that came from.
I was about to go into my... I was about to say how Hank is short for Henry. Is it Henry?
Were you?
Yeah, but no.
Is Hank short for Henry?
I think so.
Oh, I didn't see... Tom, I learn so much with you.
Well, I learn from you, so that's the wonderful thing.
Well, I don't quite understand why... What's that fun name that Christopher can be?
Oh.
Kit.
Oh, Kit is a nice shortening.
Kit is a short... That's for Christopher, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like Christopher Marlowe. Kit Marlowe.
But why Kit? I don't understand.
Yeah, I suppose they've just gone...
Thank you for that, Tom. I don't know what we would have done without that. I mean, chai or
maybe. I mean,
Riss.
Maybe people back in the day spoke with different intonations. We don't know. So they might be like Christopher.
Christopher.
Maybe.
Oh, yes, I suppose. Kit. Christopher. Yeah. Or Topher, is that?
Yeah,
or Gopher. Topher? Tofu?
Just fur.
Fur. I love fur.
I do too, actually.
Delicious.
Right up there with my top soups.
Yeah, and do you know what? Mm. This weather, absolutely fabulous for it.
Oh, lovely weather for a soup. That'll do you the world of good. The power of good. But do you ever hear that?
Your nan used to say it.
Oh, yeah, I've said this already on the podcast. The power of good.
No, it's a good I love it.
Yeah, but never.
I love it.
I forget what I say. Suze, I'm very sad I won't see you at the Attitude Awards this week.
I am very disappointed not to be there, but I am looking forward to being at the Henley Book Festival.
Oh, that's a nice place to be. Oh, you'll like it there. Oh,
I think so. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, some nice posh types there.
Some nice booky typies.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I'm sure if you can hear the bells outside. Can you hear them at all?
Oh, Tom's also auditioning for The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
I tell you, sat like this, I am. And I think they've had bell practice today up the road.
Oh.
Which is a lovely day. Lovely.
How nice.
How nice, eh?
No, I simply must go.
Of course, because you must. Thank you for joining
us, Silver.
And love you too. And I will speak to you later, okay?
If I don't see you through the window.
I'll see you through the wall.
Through the window. To the wall. To the sweat dripping down my ball. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Did you know that one? It's Funkadelic.
We've got a new theme tune.
Bye.
With that, the sun came out.
Oh my gosh. That's when we stopped recording, the sun came out.
Yeah.
Finally, they've shut up.
Exactly.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day, and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook, and audio.